I'm Zig Ziglar. Throughout this entire series, I've talked a great deal about the importance of changing the picture. You see, positive thinking won't work unless you have a good, solid picture of yourself, and we're now going to get into giving you so many wonderful ideas about how you can build that healthy self-image that will make a difference in your life. We're going to encourage you very strongly to take this 5x7 card, which is included in this set of tapes, and follow the instructions exactly. It will do wonderful things for your self-image. In this series, we're going to learn how to get along with yourself, which is key to getting along with others. We will look at the causes of a poor self-image, the manifestations of that poor self-image, and more importantly, what you can do about it. You see, it is absolutely important that we get along with ourselves. Now, let me point out, you will notice a slight difference in the sound from one of the recordings because we simply did it in a different location. I don't think you'll even be able to tell the difference. Now, tell you what let's do. Let's go to that live audience and look at self-image in its proper light. Thank you very much, and thank you for being here. Just one little word of trivia. I always like to tell people, when you get my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. You know, us fellas, we very frequently kid the ladies about talking a lot and doing a little gossiping. But as I walked in this morning, a couple of guys were back there talking, and one of them said to the other, I can't tell you anymore. I've already told you more than I heard. Now, and you know, that seems to be a trend, unfortunately, in a whole lot of cases. As also, as I was coming in, a couple of the ladies were talking, and as I walked past, one of them said, "There's Zig." Other one said, "Yeah." You know, I'd rather hear that guy talk than eat. The other one said, "Me too. I've heard him eat." Now, you know, and that could have something to do with self-image there. The question I want to start you with today is, do you respond to life or do you react to life? The doctors say that respond is positive, react is negative. You get sick, go to the doctor, she gives you a prescription, says, "See me tomorrow." You walk in the next day, she shakes her head and says, "Uh-oh, your body is reacting to the medicine, we got to change the prescription." But if she smiles and says, "Hey, it's working, your body is responding to the treatment, everything's going to be okay," then you get excited. Responding and reacting is going to be enormously important. On January the 23rd, 1981, I was in Kansas City, Missouri. It was my final stop on a long week. I'd all that week been doing four-hour seminars, north, south, east, and west, border to border, coast to coast. And when I do a four-hour seminar, I expend an incredible amount of energy. On this particular day, we were recording, and when you record, you move it up one more notch because you don't have your body to communicate with. It's got to be all voice and voice inflection and excitement and that sort of thing. So I turned it up a notch, and I already speak at about 280 words a minute with gust up to about 550. So I had really turned it up. At the end of the seminar, we had recorded that day, and our recording gear, this was in 1981, now that's a long time ago, and you had bulky equipment. One of our recording boxes weighed over 140 pounds. My son-in-law, Chad Whitmire, was with me doing the recording. We had a 3 o'clock flight back to Dallas. We finished straight up and down 1 o'clock. The airlines had said, "Hey, you got to be here at least an hour early so we can stow the gear." So the minute I finished, we started assembling all of the gear. We packed up as quickly as was humanly possible. We made the mad dash to the airport, got there straight up and down at 2 o'clock. When I walked into the airport, there were two long lines of people. We chose what I thought was the shortest line and prepared to wait. Well, I noticed almost immediately that there was a vacant spot down at the counter, and there was a sign that said, "Position closed." I also noticed there was an individual, a lady, who was walking around behind the counter. Well, I just knew in my own mind that in a matter of minutes, that position closed was about to be turned over to position open, so I got ready. Well, sure enough, the lady walked down, she flipped that sign over, looked at the two long lines of people and said, "Those of you who have a seat on the 3 o'clock flight to Dallas, come over here." Well, quick as a flash, I was over there. I mean, I got to the new line before anybody else had even left the old line. The lady smiled at me as pleasant as I've ever been smiled at and said, "The 3 o'clock flight to Dallas has been canceled." And I said, "Fantastic." She looked at me strangely and she said, "What do you mean fantastic? I just told you that your flight has been canceled." I said, "Ma'am, it's very simple. There are only three reasons on earth why anybody would ever cancel a flight to Dallas, Texas." I said, "Number one, something is wrong with that airplane. Or number two, something is wrong with that person that's going to fly that airplane. Or number three, something is wrong way up there." Now, ma'am, if either one of those three situations exists, I don't want to be up there. I want to be right down here. Fantastic. Now, have you ever noticed that some people can't wait to give you the bad news? "Oh, Sally, I hate to tell you this. It just kills me to tell you that." They can't wait to get the bad news out. She put her hands on her hips and she said, "Yeah, but the next flight doesn't leave until 6:05. I said, "Fantastic." Well, by now, the other long line of two lines of people over here are looking over at me as if to say, "Who is that nut that says everything is fantastic?" Well, it brought the gate agent to a dead stop. She looked at me and she said, "Now look, I just told you that you've got a 4-hour wait here in the Kansas City airport, and you say, 'Fantastic.' Now, why on earth would you say a thing like that?" I said, "Ma'am, it's very simple. I'm 54 years old, and in my lifetime, I have never before had an opportunity to spend 4 hours in the airport in Kansas City, Missouri." Well, I said, "Do you realize at this precise moment, there are literally tens of millions of people on the face of this earth who not only are cold, but who also are hungry? And though it is awfully cold on the outside, here I am in a marvelously warm building here. There's a nice little coffee shop down the way. Gonna go down there, get myself a cup of coffee, and relax for a minute. Then I've got some extremely important work I've got to do. Now, here I am in one of the most beautiful buildings in the Kansas City area, 4 hours of rent-free space, and I am really excited about doing it." Now, you might be thinking to yourself, "Now, Ziegler, I've heard about these positive thinkers, but man, that's kind of way out. Now, are you telling me the truth? Are you absolutely sure that's exactly what you said? Scout's honor, that is exactly what I said, and my son-in-law will validate that statement. That's exactly what I said. Okay, you said it. But now tell me the truth, Ziegler. Is that the way you really felt?" "Why, of course not. I'd been gone all week. I was tired. I wanted to be headed home. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that we absolutely are not going to change in our life. You see, I had a choice there. I didn't know of that lady, but I knew this: she could cancel my flight, but she couldn't cancel my day. You see, I had a choice there. Do I want to respond or do I want to react? I could have reacted sarcastically. I could have said, 'That's great. That's just great. I've had my seat now for over a month reserved. I've had my ticket for nearly a month.' I wanted to know, 'Ma'am, as I drove up here, I could not help but notice there are a whole bunch of your airplanes sitting out there on the runway not doing a cotton picking thing. Now, how come you can't crank up one of those airplanes and take me on down to Dallas with other folks that want to go to Dallas? I could have done that.' And the next flight still leaves at 6:05. I could have jumped up and down, ranted and raved and screamed and stomped my foot, made an absolute idiot out of myself, demanded my rights. 'I'll sue you. That's what I'll do. Do you hear me? I will sue you for such a dastardly deed that you are pulling here.' And the next flight still leaves at 6:05.